الصبح بدا من طلعته والليل دجى من وفرته الله 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 الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله وإذا كانوا معه على أمر جامع لم يذهبوا حتى يستأذنوه. إن الذين يستأذنونك أولئك الذين يؤمنون بالله ورسوله فإذا استأذنوك لبعض شأنهم فأذن لمن شئت منهم واستغفر لهم الله إن الله غفور رحيم. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا قد يعلم الله الذين يتسللون منكم لواذا فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره أن تصيبهم فتنة أو يصيبهم عذاب أليم. ألا إن لله ما في السماوات والأرض قد يعلم ما أنتم عليه ويوم يرجعون إليه فينبئهم بما عملوا والله بكل شيء عليم. Shall I be starting today from ayah number 62? And as we've been mentioning throughout the surah, this surah, it deals with social issues which are prevalent in society. And of course, one of the things that was discussed before in the beginning of the surah, or about a quarter into the surah, was the ruling of taking permission before entering into a building. So before coming into a house, before entering into a majlis, etc., the ruling was explained how a person is supposed to take permission. Now, in addition to taking permission while coming, there is also an issue of taking permission before leaving. And this is the thing that will be discussed at the beginning. And then there are a couple of other subjects that will be discussed after that. So, the first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Indeed, the true mu'mineen, the true people of iman, are the ones who have iman in Allah and His Prophet. Okay, so complete iman in Allah and His Prophet. And then the second or the third, iman in Allah, iman in the Prophet. And the third thing, the third criteria for a person's iman is that وَإِذَا كَانُوا مَعَهُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ جَامِعٍ لَمْ يَذْهَبُوا حَتَّى يَسْتَأْذِنُوا. And when they are with the Prophet in a collective gathering or a collective issue, then they don't leave until they seek his permission. Okay, so a few points here. That when they are with the Prophet, okay, so is this ruling specifically for the Prophet or is it for any Amir, any elder, any scholar? So it is basically, the ruling is broad. It is any gathering that you're sitting in, which is to do with deen, which is to do with the issues related to the ummah, and it's being done in a collective fashion. Okay, so it could be, for example, the Jumu'ah prayer, collective, Eid prayer, collective, a conference in which the issues of the ummah are being discussed, collective. Okay, so in all of these situations, the person is supposed to take permission from the person in charge before leaving. And if he is not doing that, then this is one of the signs of the hypocrites. That will be mentioned later on in the surah, that if a person is not doing that, then he becomes like the munafiqeen who used to take every opportunity to sneak off. Okay, when the Prophet ﷺ is not looking, they used to just sneak away from the majlis. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when they are with the Prophet ﷺ on any collective issue, لَمْ يَذْهَبُوا حَتَّى يَسْتَأْذِنُوا. They don't leave until they seek his permission. And actually, this is an etiquette that we need to implement. I mean, if you're at somebody's house and he's called you for dinner, You don't just, while his back is turned, you sneak off without telling him, I'm leaving. It is against all, natural instinctive things that a person has about respecting the host who has invited him to the house. Before leaving, he will tell him, give me, I'd like to take permission to leave now. Please allow me to do so. So this is something that we should put into practice in all situations, not just in religious gatherings, even in social gatherings. So they don't leave until they seek his permission. And then after that, Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَأْذِنُونَكَ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Indeed, those people that seek your permission, they are the ones who truly have iman in Allah and His Prophet. And again, it's basically the same thing that was mentioned at the beginning, at the previous point of the ayah. The previous point said the same thing. The mu'mineen are the ones who have iman in Allah, His Prophet, and they don't leave until they seek His permission. And then after that, the same thing, to stress upon the point that indeed those people that seek your permission, truly they have iman. They are the ones that have true faith, they have true conviction. And they're not like the munafiqeen, about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ نَظَرَ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ هَلْ يَرَاكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ ثُمَّ انْصَرَفُوا. That whenever any surah is being revealed, they start looking at each other, that is anybody watching you? And then if they realize that nobody's looking, they sneak away. Okay, so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention the same thing later on in these verses. So after that Allah says, فَإِذَا اسْتَأْذَنُوكَ لِبَعْضِ شَأْنِهِمْ فَأْذَن لِمَنْ شِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or any person actually who's in charge, who's an Amir, he doesn't need to be a dictator and say, no, you have to sit in my gathering until I finish and until I've completed my whatever I wanted to say, until I do that, you're not allowed to leave. No, this is not what the leader is supposed to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet and tells him, فَإِذَا اسْتَأْذَنُوكَ, if they seek your permission, لِبَعْضِ شَأْنِهِمْ, for some of their issues, for whatever issue they have, فَأَذَلْ لِمَنْ شِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ, then give permission to whomever you want from them. So basically you evaluate the situation, and if you think that they have to leave urgently, and leaving them, and leaving the majlis and leaving the gathering is important, then you give them permission. Okay? If you think that they want to leave for a trivial reason, then you can tell them, no, that's not a good enough excuse, and this is more important. You should try to sit in the gathering and try to benefit from the majlis that we have. Okay? So give permission to whom you want from amongst them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمُ اللَّهِ. But also, the Prophet is instructed, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for them. Why? Why seek Allah's forgiveness for them? Because despite the fact that they might have had a valid excuse to leave, still they have given priority to a worldly thing over the gathering, over the purpose of the gathering of the Prophet ﷺ, which is concerned about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is concerned about propagating the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is concerned about bringing success to every single person, every single human, until the Day of Judgment. So a person who is giving priority to his worldly needs, even though they may be valid needs and valid excuses that a person wants to leave for, but still it is basically sidelining the more important issue of the needs of the ummah. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ was instructed that seek forgiveness from them. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. Inna Allah ghafoor rahim. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is ghafoor rahim, He is forgiving and He is merciful. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. And this portion, it can have so many meanings. You can basically sum it up into three meanings. Let me do the translation of it first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the ummah and says, don't make the calling of the Prophet between you like the calling of you to each other, like the calling of you to each other. Okay, so it can have three meanings. One meaning is that if you call each other, okay, hey, come here, let's do something, that's different. That's like two friends, two buddies calling each other. But if the Prophet ﷺ is calling you to do something, then that is completely different. So his calling, it is much higher than the calling of any of the people amongst yourselves. And the same thing again, you take that and you put it into the modern day thing of the and how it fits into our day and age. Any scholar, any imam, any person who is regarded as being an elder of the community, if he calls you to do something, then you have to respect that much more than if a normal person, if a lay person is doing it. Okay, and another meaning of this could be is that when you call the Prophet, when you call the Prophet, when you talk to him, then it is not to be like you calling each other. Okay, just like, you know, when we are calling each other, you know, we say to each other in a very friendly way or a very jovial way, in a very down-to-earth way, things that, you know, we cannot imagine, for example, saying to our fathers or our elders or our teachers. Okay, so similarly, don't address the Prophet ﷺ like you address each other. So the previous meaning was, the Prophet addressing you is not like you addressing each other. And this meaning is, you addressing the Prophet should not be like you are addressing each other. Okay, so that's the second meaning. And the third meaning is that don't make the dua of the Prophet like your du'as that are done amongst you. Okay, if the Prophet ﷺ is going to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you think that it is going to hold more weight or your own du'as? Obviously, the Prophet ﷺ, his du'a is going to be more stronger and more weighty in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than any other person's du'a. Okay, so this is the third meaning. Okay, so basically to sum it up, you know, it is to make people understand that the Prophet ﷺ's status amongst you is different. It is higher than you. You have to respect him. You cannot treat him like any other person, that like any lay person. And again, take that into this day and age, parents, scholars, teachers, elders of the community, all of those fit into the same ruling, that you're not supposed to deal with them in a way that, you know, you deal with each other like friends in a down-to-earth way, to a point that you are now disrespecting them. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ يَتَسَلَّلُونَ مِنْكُمْ لِوَاذَا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows those people that sneak off from amongst you liwadhan, in secret, in hiding, in concealment. Okay, so at the beginning I mentioned that the munafiqeen will be mentioned, that the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, when they used to be sitting in the majlis of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to get bored. And of course, because they were hiding kufr in their hearts, they don't want to listen to what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. They don't want to benefit from his speech. So every opportunity that they could, they used to basically sneak off while the Prophet ﷺ wasn't watching. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making them aware that, okay, the Prophet didn't see you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what you are doing. Okay, so again, if you think about, and again, I don't want to basically wipe everybody with a big brush, broad brush, but the priority that we give to our worldly needs over the gatherings of ilm, the gatherings of knowledge, the tafsir of the Quran, you know, these things are much more important than our worldly needs. Okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically equating the people who leave and sneak off with the munafiqeen. So it is kind of, you know, very, very, you know, scary to think that how there is no interest, there's no zeal in communities to listen to the tafsir of the Quran. There's no zeal to benefit from scholars. Visiting scholars who come from maybe thousands of miles away, they come to teach us the knowledge, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and yet we tend to give priority to maybe watching cricket or, you know, doing our worldly thing over benefiting from the words of the scholars and the teachings of the scholars. This is something that we really need to think about, that what are we prioritizing? And are we becoming like those munafiqeen that have been mentioned in the verse, who just sneak off in secret and, you know, don't want to benefit from these majalis, from these gatherings? It is something to think about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So those people who are going against the command of the Prophet, they should be afraid that a fitna might not hit them, meaning fitna, meaning a trial, a tribulation would come to them. Okay, they should be afraid of this. They shouldn't think that, okay, I've sneaked off and that's it. You know, he never saw me. He didn't see me leaving. So, you know, I got away. No. This leaving and this sidelining the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and giving priority to the worldly things, this will be a means of trials and tribulations coming to us. أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Not only that, in the hereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a person a painful punishment for belittling the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. أَلَا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Be aware that indeed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whatever is in the heavens and the earth. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so, you know, you have to learn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to take from the teachings of the Prophet who is giving you the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَدْ يَعْلَمُ مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Indeed, he knows what you are on, what you are doing, what you are controlling. And whatever is going on in your worldly life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of that. Okay, so you cannot hide anything from him. So you have to turn your attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to live your life in his obedience. وَيَوْمَ يُرْجَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ فَيُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا. And when they are returned back to him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will inform them of whatever they did. Okay? They think that nobody saw us now. Nobody saw us doing what we're doing. Particularly the munafiqeen, they think that we have got away and we've succeeded in hiding ourselves and concealing ourselves from the Prophet, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will inform them of whatever they did. Wallahu bi kulli shayin alim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is aware of everything that is going on. He is aware of everything. And of course, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says these things, that he is aware of everything, that means there will be accountability for whatever you've done. Not that he just knows everything and that's it. No, he knows everything, he's recorded everything, and after that, there will be accountability for everything that you've done that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about. So with this, the Surah Nur is completed. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه ربي لا أريد سواه